In this episode, we are going to focus on the transition from tennis coaching to paddle coaching. We've got Nick Williams here, head of coach education for the Paddle School. And the idea of this episode is to talk about our experiences that we've transitioned from tennis to paddle, but also give some advice on anyone that wants to do that and how they can do that in the most efficient and effective way. Nick, great to have you on here. If you could do a little intro about yourself and your experience going from tennis to paddle.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. So I've been a tennis coach since the mid-1990s, level 5 LTA qualified tennis coach. And I've been a head coach at many venues all across the UK, worked with players, 3 and 4 year olds, 12 and under national players, and adults and schools and disability. So a whole range of different experiences in tennis coaching. And I started playing paddle in 2015, and I would have played like a tennis player on a paddle court, and it would have looked dreadful. And then back in sort of 2019, 2020, I was asked by the head of coach education at the time. So I'm a tutor and I'm a content developer for the LTA as well. So I help them write their coaching qualifications. So I was asked if I fancied a new project in paddle. And obviously I jumped at the chance. I'd played a little bit previously. And so I met Sandy, and that's where we met. And then from that point forward, I've been totally addicted to the game. And it's been a great transition into paddle. I've really enjoyed the transition. And it's not easy. It's not easy, and it takes dedication and commitment to doing it. And I felt like it was a perfect storm for me, Sandy, really, a perfect storm, because I'd done a lot of tennis coaching. I was working at an outdoor club. I was at a point where I was not really happy with the environment I was working in at the time. And so it was a perfect storm. Paddle came along. It was brand new. It was fresh. And it was something that I really wanted to jump in and take that chance to get involved in paddle more. And so from that point, Sandy, what I did was I immersed myself in paddle. Now, that's my personality, though, really. So my personality is, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to absolutely do it 100% from start to finish. So I immersed myself in it. And what I did was transition so that I learned about the game and watched loads of your videos. And that was like the first sort of introduction into making sure that I understand everything. I watched loads of YouTube videos, signed up to your platform, got everything in like that, and watched all of that material. And just got to a point where I went and watched World Paddle Tour in Toulouse. I practiced regularly, and to a point where I felt like I haven't got imposter syndrome anymore, because obviously I can hit a good tennis ball as a national level tennis player, you know, as a junior. And I wanted to transition. I had to take lessons. And obviously we've done a few lessons, or a lot of lessons. And that's been like a massive eye-opener. So I would say that to be able to transition, it's not easy. And you've got to really dedicate yourself to that change if you want it. It's such an exciting sport to get into. It's just so exciting. It's so different. And I love the aspect that actually you can go there and everybody seems to be having fun on the court. And it's not always like that in tennis. Tennis is a bit like, shh, got to be quiet.
I remember there was a couple of years that we were writing that qualification for the LTA. It was their instructor level qualification. And I was kind of going down a different path. I mean, learning about coach education. It was an immersion for me in coach education, and spending that time with you, I found really valuable. And then we ran those first few qualifications ourselves, didn't we? And we got a lot of tennis coaches on the course, but we also got a lot of squash coaches, you know, the odd hockey coach, football coach. And so I suppose the advice that we are going to give in this and the stumbling blocks, I suppose, for coaches from other sports that they may face going into paddle is probably similar in different sports, don't you think? I mean, we're getting all sorts of backgrounds in those coach education kind of qualifications that we're doing at the moment.
Yeah, it's a different sport. So paddle's a different sport. It's, I think, when when you get into it to start with, you think, oh, well, it's just like tennis or just like squash. And actually, it's totally different. It's totally different. And it's the tactics are different and the techniques are different. And you've got to, it's just totally different sport. So you've got to really immerse yourself and learn like where to hit the ball, why to do it. And it's always doubles. So then that brings in a double aspect to everything, doesn't it? You know, you have to understand what your partner's doing, how you're going to set them up. And so that's the challenge for somebody to really transition from another coaching environment. You've got to learn a new sport.
And I think that that is my key tip for coaches from another sport, is to understand that it is. You know, we get so many coaches that start paddle. Oh, I was a tennis coach. Yeah, I've been coaching tennis for 15 years. You know, they wouldn't go and coach squash or badminton. You know, so in a way, you've got to take that same approach to paddle. It's a different sport. You need to, like you said, immerse yourself, but understand the game, really. And I think and that moment, because I remember going through that when I was starting with paddle as well, the moment that you realise it's a new sport and you're not starting from scratch, because you'll definitely have some transferable skills, but the moment you appreciate it as a different sport, I think that kind of unlocks that next stage for you.
Yeah, absolutely. But it definitely can be done. And if you've got the passion to go out there, practice regularly, and as a tennis coach, you know, playing off the glass is so alien, different squash coaches, but so alien for tennis coaches, and learning that actually everything's super compact. I remember at the start when you were saying, go smaller, take it, you've got to be a smaller swing. Sandy, I'm doing a smaller swing. No, you're not, okay? And until you get that actual feedback from somebody that knows what they're doing, then you're relying on your own sort of knowledge of the game. So you do need an expert eye to have a look at what you're doing.
That's a bit the difficulty that we have in these emerging paddle countries. Like the UK is a good example. I mean, we've got, you know, fantastic tennis coaches around the country, and it's, you know, making that transition, and squash coaches for that matter, but making that transition to paddle, is that expert eye is difficult to come by, I think. You know, there's not a lot of experienced paddle coaches out there. So it can be difficult to go into, you know, to find someone like that. And I think maybe you were starting to go into there, the steps from tennis to paddle. And we talked about glass and making things compact and smaller steps. And, you know, let's maybe talk as a player, first of all. Like, what would you recommend if you got a tennis coach right now and they're fresh off the tennis court and you're going to bring them onto a paddle court? What would you recommend? I think you're saying let's play the game and understand the game first and what needs to change in terms of how you play it, and that's probably a good place to start.
Yeah, play the game. Got to play the game and play the game, but make sure that you've watched the game first. So go and watch some World Paddle Tour. Go and, you know, just, you have so much on YouTube and online, isn't it? Just go and watch the game, see what happens, see where players move, watch the videos to understand the instructional videos, where to move, how to do the shots, and then go and play. But also get a video camera and take it down and video yourself playing and then compare yourself. You've got to get to that level where you understand what you look like on the court, so that actually you feel like you can be credible. But you've got to play, and you've got to play and just start to really get beneath the skin of the game by playing the game itself. Yeah,
I think that bit about learning is key, because most of the clubs we go to in the UK, you see the tennis coaches playing, and it's you know, you can notice a mile off if they're tennis players, because they're hitting so fast, they're net rushing, they're playing tennis on a paddle court. And I think it takes a bit of dedication at the beginning to slow the ball down, to use the glass. You might not be comfortable with it at the beginning, but really forcing yourself to play the game properly, if you can do that at the beginning, it will be worth it in the long run, won't it?
Yeah, I definitely would advise that. So if you've got four of you that play, just say, right, no winners, no winners, slow the game down, go and play, and you can only win by just manoeuvring the ball around the court. And that doesn't, you can't hit it hard to win a point. Mm. I think that's essential. And then you go through a transition period where you do all of that and you slow it down and you understand what a bandeja is and you understand a slower smash to retain the net and you do all of that. And then you get to a point where you go, right, well, I've slowed it all down. I feel comfortable with the glass. And then you realise, actually, I can speed it up at times and I can add some more power in at the right time. But I think when we transition from tennis, I'm from tennis, that you have to go through that learning process first. You have to go through the ability to slow the ball down and then speed it up later.
Mm. And we've had this conversation ourselves, but with players as well. It's almost like when you speed up, you want to be able to speed up, or you want to be able to play the ball in front as a choice that you are making because you feel it's the right tactical thing, not because you don't want to get stuck with the glass or you're scared of using the glass. And I think, and that's probably why it's so important to get that base, to make sure that you are comfortable. And also, we're talking about coaches here, right? So you've got to be able to demonstrate it. And I think the next stage actually there is you feel comfortable doing all of those things. Now you need to play players that are a bit better than you in order to improve your level, and ideally better at paddle as opposed to just hit faster than you.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say that the things in order, if you like, of your game, go and play just so, you know, and slow it down. But you've got to get used to the glass at the back, and you've got to keep it nice and compact. And then I think side glass, so it's back glass, then side glass, because you don't want to be in a position where you're doing a lesson and you've got somebody who hits a side glass and you're trying to demonstrate it and you keep missing. So I think side glass is definitely something to move quickly and do and practice. The overheads are so different to tennis. Mm. And when we see tennis coaches on the court now, it's super obvious that they're a tennis coach because it's a harder, flatter smash and the ball is like directly over their head. So you've got to practice hitting from the side, which is so different. So you've got to practice your overheads, practice from the side. I think that would be your next step. And at the same time, just ensuring that you serve. You know, it looks super simple, doesn't it, when you watch somebody who do an underarm shot, but actually there's quite a bit to it if you're going to make it effective. So I'd go back glass, side glass, overheads, and combine that with getting the serve in, serve and return.
Mm, yeah, and then tackle the corner.
Yeah, then tackle the corner.
Which is another difficult part of that game. And I think probably as well, while you're doing that, it's probably worth working on your feeding a little bit. I mean, I find feeding in paddle so different to tennis. And when I initially started, I thought, oh, how different can it be, right? You're standing next to a basket, you're feeding in to a smaller court with a slightly smaller racket. It should be easier. But due to the rebound with the glass, in a way, you've got to be more accurate and you've got to be more precise on different types of feeds, different types of shots. So I think it's probably not a bad thing to get practicing that as well, particularly if you are, you know, actively coaching.
Yeah, get two of you maybe. You can feed somebody, they can feed to you, and you can practice those two things. The difference between a tennis racket and a paddle racket comes in here, doesn't it? Because that's something that with feeding is very different. It's a different sound, it's a different feel, and you really have to use the hand to feed rather than the swing of the racket. It's like really punching it through a bit more with the paddle racket. So I think when you're going from tennis to paddle, it's getting used to the racket. One of the first things I used to do was coming into paddle was I used to think I'd still got a tennis racket, and I'd always be clipping the edge of the paddle racket as I was playing. So it's just getting used to that length. So yeah, absolutely get your feeding practiced. And one of the feeds that you would really practice would be this super high lob. Like that's so different to tennis. It's like a super high lob, no spin, like just up high, get right underneath it, get your racket face underneath and pop it up. That would be one to practice for sure.
It's funny, just as you were talking about that particular lob, I'm thinking how important it is to also watch good paddle, because, you know, feeding into the corner, for example, it's very different if you're feeding you know, from an overhead position to feeding underarm. And so it also will help the, you know, the kind of practicality or the specificity, I suppose, of the feeding if you know when that shot is going to be played in a paddle match. I mean, we so often see players feeding into a glass from a position on their court at a contact height that is completely irrelevant of what would happen in a game. So it's important you understand the tactical side of it as well, really.
Yeah. So to sort of summarise everything that we've spoken about, I would say it's having the desire, Sandy, it's having the desire to learn a new sport and get really involved with it. Now, my tennis was, you know, is on the... I'm never going to get any better at tennis. It's going to keep going down. But my paddle, like, that's an exciting thing. I love learning and I love learning new stuff. Is my paddle is going in an upward trajectory, and that's quite exciting. So for me as an experienced coach, that's what I want to do is have that desire to learn a new sport, get involved, and that's quite exciting and fresh, really. But it comes from desire, doesn't it? All of this will come from desire and those little steps in terms of immersing yourself, watching, playing, and learning some of the shots so that you feel comfortable to be able to demonstrate them, even if it's just in a static way, so that you know somebody could feed you the ball on a dead ball feed rather than in a live match. And having that confidence to be able to do that, that's something that would be the first step to being a credible paddle coach coming from tennis.
I think we've talked a lot about the game itself and changing the game and the feeding. And I think a big stumbling block is the organisation as well. And I know we're opening a can of worms here, but if you were advising a tennis coach going to paddle, obviously the court size is a third the size of a tennis court. You don't have a quote-unquote out-of-bounds area that is a safe zone, essentially. What would your advice be to coaches that are organising their sessions? And you and I, we're always promoting group sessions in paddle. We think it's important that coaches are able to deliver good group lessons. And so what would your piece of advice be there for someone in terms of organising numbers on the space?
Yeah, so it's certainly something that we believe in a lot is group coaching. If we're going to grow the sport in the UK and in the world, we want more people on the court. I think traditionally it's four on a court or individual lessons. And what we see is four on a court and single ball, dead ball feeding with three weighting and one hitting. And we've got to avoid that because at the end of the day, that's the coach getting the most practice with their feeding rather than the players. So my tips really for organising would be get really great at organising on court by challenging yourself with more than four players, like challenge yourself with six. But how can you make it work when you've got six? Well, you can make it work by either having two balls on court at any one time so that you can practice drills whereby you're using half a court, either down the line or cross court. And then with perhaps either somebody behind the feeder, the one end behind the volleyer. So imagine you have a volley feed, somebody playing off the back glass with somebody behind, and then they quickly rotate round as a three on one half of the court. You can do stuff diagonally, but sometimes you might have to stagger it. So you might have to stagger the feed and you've got to make sure the intensity is right. So you need to go one feed, that stops, the other feeds go the other way, and it needs to be a continuous ball on court. So two balls on court maximises volume. And then the next level down is, if you like, is the stagger. So one and then one and then one and one. And then if you have to only have one ball on court to be able to get more of an open play, then have your four players on the court with two waiting at the side, a couple of points, and rotate round and rotate round. So in terms of organisation of players, that's what you've got to do. I would challenge yourself to get more than four on the court. But keep everybody active. Read the body language, read the room. Who's hot, who's cold, who's active and who's disengaging. And as soon as you see somebody like just dropping off with disengagement, move them around and get them active and keep them moving. So that would be my tip for organisation with players. But then in terms of organising where you put your equipment and safe zones, that's different to tennis as well. So you'd need to consider where to put your basket. Basket can either go on panel 5 on the back glass and just, you know, right push back against it, or it can go up to the net maybe, but that needs to be out of the way and out of the playing area, particularly if you're doing groups, or it needs to be off the court. And then the other thing with organisation is it's totally different with how you're going to give information to players. And you might need to organise your group so that if you did a demo, maybe they need to all come to the corner where the glass is enclosed, and we're trying to sort of drown out the other sounds of all the other paddle courts that are going on, because it can be a super noisy sport. So there's loads of different tips on, you know, organising our players and making sure that your organisation's effective.
Yeah, it's difficult. And I think, again, it comes back to knowing that sport, the sport in a way, doesn't it? That you want to make sure that each of the exercises is safe. And so a big thing that coaches say to us, well, our players, they're beginners and the ball goes everywhere. Well, in that case, you regress the exercise and you make it, you know, achievable for the players, so that you can still maintain whichever one of those techniques you advise there, whether it's two balls or rotations or whatever that might be. And understanding the game is kind of pivotal to that. Just to conclude the episode here, I just want to ask your one tip. Now, imagine that we've got, you know, lots of tennis coach listeners at the moment. And, you know, we've talked about it earlier, but what would be your first thing that they would do? They're suddenly, their tennis club is opening up two paddle courts. They've got, as usual, 10, 12 tennis courts, and then two paddle courts are being opened. What would be the first thing that you would do? How do they get the ball rolling, as it were?
To be a better coach, to be ready for players.
To be ready, yeah. They see the courts being built, and they know they're going to have to give some lessons, even if they might feel a bit of imposter syndrome or they might not have the confidence initially. We probably know that they're probably going to be teaching beginner or low intermediate level to begin with. So what would your one tip be to say to get them ready for that moment?
Yeah, watch. And then the rules of the game. Like, understand the rules of the game. Mm. Understand the rules of the game. There are a lot of similarities to tennis, but there's a lot of differences too. So understand the rules of the game, because players in paddle can play a game pretty quick. So if you can show them the game and you can show them how to play a game and you can show them the rules and you can give a basic demonstration of that, then people can go and have a go. Because we don't want to get to a point where we are just promoting only coaching. We want them to go and practice as well. So I would say learn the rules, get your players playing a lot, and then once they're enjoying the game and they understand it, then that's the time to really get your coaching in. And you will have really had time to understand the game. So watch loads on YouTube, try and go and watch it live and go and play. I think the tennis coaching skills that we have, the ability to communicate well, the ability to provide tactical and technical information, they're always going to be there. We know how to provide the information, but what is the information? So we've got to make sure that we're really credible with what we're giving.
Yeah. Good points there. Nick, thank you very much. We will put your details in the show notes should anyone wish to contact you. Is LinkedIn probably the best place to if anyone's got any questions?
Yeah, LinkedIn for sure, yeah.
Yeah, so Nick Williams, I'll put that in the show notes, and hopefully we'll get you on another episode.
Thanks, Andy.